Hello, welcome back to the Deep Dale podcast. It's September 2025, there are blue skies, it's a bit windy, but it's a beautiful, beautiful day on the North Norfolk coast. And this podcast, I am very pleased to say that I have three lovely chats with some musicians and some wildlife enthusiasts. So Steve and Sam from the Brancaster Staith Sea Shanty Festival have joined me to chat about the festival that's coming up this weekend, when basically the whole of Brancaster Staithe and Bernard Deepdale is filled with shanty bands of all shapes and sizes singing their hearts out for charity. Deepdale is amongst the six venues where the music is going to be taking place. You'll find music in the Jolly Sailors, the White Horse, down at the marsh side at the White Horse, in the Village Hall, in St. Mary's Church, and in our very own Brick Barn. And then I chat with Cole and Joseph of the India Electric Company. They're heading to Deepdale for a gig on the 27th of September, Saturday night. They have been to Deepdale before for the 2023 festival and went down an absolute storm on the Sunday night. And it is really lovely to be welcoming these amazing guys back to the Brick Barn with their beautiful music. And Cole came on the podcast back in sort of August 2023. So you may have heard him chatting about the India Electric Company. Since then, they've got a new album. And yeah, we're very excited about welcoming them back to Deepdale. And then the last chat for this podcast is with Lucy and Paul from the RSB Titchwell Marsh Nature Reserve. It's a fabulous, fabulous place, not far from Deepdale, just a couple of villages away. It's just a sort of a core of the wildlife offering on the North Norfolk coast. You can see the whole range of habitats in this one place, and you can spend quite a few hours walking around and investigating this beautiful part of the world. They run a whole series of events through the year, both for people to be introduced to the wildlife and for people who really already know loads about it. And it's a fabulous place to visit. So they tell us a lot more about the reserve, what's there, what's on offer, and the events coming up. Really hope you enjoy the listen. I always enjoy putting together the podcast. This is my last podcast for a couple of months. Chris and I will be back in December talking about our favorite albums and about the music program at Deepdale coming forward. So we will be doing our 12 albums of Christmas in December. But for the moment, this will be the last podcast for 2025 until then. And I really hope you enjoy the listen. And if you want to hear more having listened to this, then listen back to our big back catalogue of all sorts of interesting conversations with lots of amazing people who know the North Norfolk coast so beautifully and can tell you all about its amazing assets. Thanks for listening. Just remember, if you do enjoy this podcast, please do leave a review on your favorite podcast app or directory, and please tell your family and friends. But thanks for listening to our little magazine of the North Norfolk coast. Have a brilliant rest of the autumn, wherever you may find yourself enjoying that lovely time of the year.
Skies all open wide, geese go high and over. Oh, now you're a beachcomber, fistful of samphire, sea lavender. See ya next year.
So I am chatting to two very lovely people, Steve and Sam, about the Brancaster Staithe Sea Shanty Festival, which takes place this weekend, Friday the 12th to Sunday the 14th of September. And it's just got the most incredible lineup of hugely talented shanty bands, shanty group, shanty bands. I'm sure they'll tell me which one it is. They are playing all over Brancaster Staithe and Burnham Deepdale. We've got stages at the Jolly Sailors, the White Horse, St Mary's Church, in the Village Hall, and in our very own Brick Barn, Deepdale Camping and Rooms. Yeah, there's an incredible selection. There's a few bands on Friday evening, and then the bands run all the way through the day on Saturday, and then up until about 7 or 8 on the evening of the Sunday. There's food, there's drink, it's completely free, but we do ask anybody who's coming along to try and donate what they can afford to the charities that the various bands will be collecting for. And they'll be shaking some buckets, and we hope that you will donate accordingly. Welcome to the Deepdale podcast, gents.
Thank you very much. Thanks. Thank you.
So tell me, you guys are part of which of the shanty groups?
We are both members of the Nelson Shantymen, which is a local group in Brancaster Staithe. We're based at the Jolly Sailors.
Yeah, and you practice most Mondays, don't you, through the year? We know a lot of our customers like to potter along and watch you sing.
Yeah, it's been a busy year for us, but it's been good. Good fun.
That's good. How did you come about organising this, what now is a fairly huge event?
It basically started, I think, with Simon from the Jolly Sailors, the manager. He was interested in with us being there, and he went to Mevagissey down in Cornwall to their shanty festival and saw the groups and that, and he thought it'd be a great idea if we could do that independently from the Jolly Sailors, although it's the main stage is there. He wanted to be an independent thing from the Jolly Sailors and ACI. Asked us if we'd come on board, and of course we got John Rodwell, who's one of the Sharon shanty men. He's on the committee with us, and we went from there, really.
Fantastic. And how do you get all the bands? Do you sort of know them from other events you do, or have you kind of approached them, or have they kind of approached you?
A bit of both, really. So we know some of them from when we sang down Harwich at the International Sea Chanty Festival, but we opened up like applications this year because we were getting a load of people just like, I would like to come up to, you know, North Norfolk, beautiful place. Can we get involved? So I was like, well, we'll open up applications and we'll see who turns up. And I think we had 40 or 50 different groups. Obviously, we can't have 40 or 50 groups. Small place. So we had to be a bit selective. But it's nice that people want to come up here and, you know, get involved with our little festival.
You've got groups from all over, haven't you? Like all over the UK.
Yeah, they're mainly southern-based. We've got, what was it called?
Wellington Whalers from, like, Brighton Way.
Yeah, we've got Wellington Whalers. They're from West Sussex, Shoreham by the Sea. We've got the Shanty Folk of Loughborough, which is from Leicestershire. We've got one from Oxfordshire.
On Monkey Fist, yeah, they're from Oxfordshire. We've got the London Shanty Collective, which are obviously from London. So, yeah, quite a few.
Freddie's Barnett and from Bedfordshire. So yes. Yeah, it's quite well spread, thank you. Thank goodness.
Fantastic. That's great. And this is the first year that we've hosted you, isn't it? Because we normally set it in the middle of our setup for our festival, so it's a little bit complicated to try and host yours as well. But looking forward to having you guys in the Brick Barn. I think it'll sound amazing in there. And how do shanty groups kind of work? Because I'm guessing quite a lot of people will have seen the very enjoyable films about the shantymen down in Cornwall. But do you just kind of come together because of work, and then it develops from there, or how does it normally work?
Well, you explain how we started.
Well, we started back in 2010 down at Burnham Thorpe. That was an idea of Chris Jacklin's. He'd been and seen the tall ships race up in Liverpool, and he thought it was a great idea. He was a bit of a performer anyway, and he loved the idea of singing that. So he just put a night together at Burnham Thorpe. Several of us went along. We signed up, and away we went, sort of thing. And that's basically how we set up. But
a lot of them do set up. Like the Fishermen's Friends were obviously fishermen. So yeah. Obviously they did it because of a job. I mean, some of the Sheringham Shantymen, that was RNLI related, wasn't it?
Yeah, they were all sort of RNLI based, and that's where they got their idea from. But we haven't got anybody who's a fisherman or Steve Bear as such with us. But we enjoy it. It's good fun, and we do it all for charity. So it's great.
Yeah, great fun. That's brilliant. So what can people expect from the festival? Kind of give them a kind of an idea of how it all works and, you know, what they'll see.
Well, we're kicking off Friday night, like you said, at 5 o'clock. We did make the programme a little bit earlier because there was a group wanting to be on the stage at the Jolly Sailors. So we're kicking off at 5 o'clock there through to, I think it's 10 o'clock. Yeah, the last group's on at 10 o'clock. It's going to be entertaining. It's going to be good fun. You can sing along. You can join in. You can clap. You dance.
Drink.
Drink.
Drink's important.
Stamp your feet and stamp the table. We don't mind. As long as you're out for a good time, that's what it's all about.
It's all about having a good atmosphere, raising money for charity. Yeah. Everyone will have an awesome time. It's been, how many? It's the fifth. Is it the fifth
the
year
fifth
now?
Fest,
it's the fifth year now, and it just keeps getting better and better. But we've been told numerous of times it's one of the most friendliest shanty festivals in the country. So we're doing something right.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And so the bands kind of, the groups work their way around the village, do they, sort of moving from one stage to another, or at least some of them do?
Yeah, we've got a program set out here, which John kindly did for us. And then the groups, they're allocated a slot. They're 45-minute slots. But they will be on the hour because we have a 15-minute turnaround so we can set up sound equipment for various groups. And then there'll be allocated slots throughout the village, six venues. One thing I would just like to point out, when you said about the groups with the charities for the buckets and that, there's two designated charities that we're collecting for, and it's for the Hunstanton RNLI and the Brancaster Coast Watch. So the money will go to them, split between those two charities.
Lovely. Yeah, that's great to know. Yeah, so the Hunstanton RNLI, who we know a lot of, and then the Brancaster Coast Watch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Great.
Fantastic. I mean, they just had a new build and they opened up. I think it was last year. Princess Anne came and opened up. It's just behind it, Golf Club. Brancaster. My wife and John went down on the opening ceremony and had a great day with them.
Fantastic. That's brilliant. Well, we're really looking forward to it. It's going to be a great weekend. You know, there's going to be a lot of people milling around the village and enjoying, and people can either stay at one venue, can't they, and then just watch all the bands that come on, or they can move around as well with the various groups. So it'll be a fabulous day, a really, really fabulous day.
I'd just like to point out, when you said about the people moving from venue to venue, we do have the Fakenham Town Football Club minibus, which will be moving. That will be ferrying people around. You can just jump on, jump off, it's all free of charge, and it will be going from venue to venue, and also popping up to the car park as well. So that's free transport to get you around the village. So
fantastic. Brilliant. Well, I hope it goes brilliantly well, chaps. I hope it's fantastic fun. A lot of people really enjoy your rehearsals on a Monday at the Jolly. Of course, that won't be happening this coming Monday because you'll be shattered after organising this weekend. I hope it goes brilliantly well. I hope you raise huge sums for the charities. Yeah, thank you for organising this event.
Thank you, Jason, and thank you for being on board with us this year.
Yes, thank you very much.
All the best, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you, then. Cheers.
And we'll roll the old chariot along.
We'll roll the old chariot along. We'll roll the old chariot along. And we'll all hang on behind.
And a drop of Nelson's blood wouldn't do us any harm.
A drop of Nelson's blood wouldn't do us any harm. A drop of Nelson's blood wouldn't do us any harm. And we'll all hang on behind. And we'll roll the old chariot along. We'll roll the old chariot along. We'll roll the old chariot along. And we'll all hang on behind.
And another drop of rum wouldn't do us any harm.
Another drop of rum wouldn't do us any harm. Another drop of rum wouldn't do us any harm. And we'll all hang on behind. And we'll roll.
of ale wouldn't do us any harm.
I am chatting to Cole and Joseph, who are both in separate little studios elsewhere in the world. We'll find out shortly. They are India Electric Co. And they are going to be performing on Saturday, the 27th of September in our Brick Barn. Cole has been on to our podcast previously about 2 years ago, just before their fabulous set at the Deepdale Festival. Joseph, have you been on before as well? Were you on that chat?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. So we loved their set 2 years ago. It was absolutely fantastic. And Chris is very, very excited to have persuaded these gents to come back to our Brick Barn for their own standalone gig, supported by one of Norwich's finest folk duos, Christina Alden and Alex Patterson. And it's going to be a fantastic gig, just a couple of weeks away really now. How are you, gents? Thank you for joining me.
Very well. Pleasure to be here. We didn't take a lot of persuading, I'm not going to lie, Jason. We wanted to come back. We said yes before Chris had even said anything. So yeah, what a great festival that was. It was brilliant. We played on the Sunday night and it was absolutely magical. It really was. So you've created something very special. So we're delighted to be back as part of our UK tour. Can't wait.
How did you both meet? Go on, let's hear your version, Joseph. How did you meet and end up becoming India Electric Company?
It was our dads, actually. My dad used to run a Kaylee band and rent gear from Cole's dad, and who had a music shop at the time. I think they said, oh, you guys should play together or something like that. And so we've been playing in cover bands since we were about 12.
Ah, okay. Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. And have you both been off and done sort of formal music training, kind of, you know, music degrees or something like that? Or is it just sort of what you've discovered over the decades of playing with instruments and standing on stages?
No, I did a master's in maths and Cole was traveling, I think, when...
That's a very good education. It's just not a formal one.
Yeah, there was nothing formal about my education in Devon, I have to say, and traveling around the world. Yeah, we came back still late teens, and we just loved playing. We shared similar tastes in music, and we knuckled down and wrote a little album, our first real album, in Joe's bedroom in East Devon, and it just went from there, really. As I said, our sort of shared love of melody and harmony kind of came through, and it just very quickly, well, very quickly, here we are 15 years later, still writing songs in our bedrooms. And yeah, it's been an amazing journey, as Joe said, from our dads. We owe them a great debt. East Devon's not a very big place, so it was inevitable, I suppose, that Joe's dad was going to walk into my dad's music shop. And yeah, one thing led to another, and there we were.
So does the music shop still exist?
No, my dad's, well, he technically he's retired, but I don't think he ever really will retire. He gigs more than we do. He's approaching his 80th and he's still out playing. And yeah, both our families are very, very immersed in music, and we've been very lucky to have that growing up and surrounded by it here in Devon. So as you are as well, where you are.
What does life look like? Are you both working full time, and then India Electric Company is your passion, or is India Electric Company a full time job now?
Yeah, music is our full time job and has been for many years. We're very fortunate that that's been the case, and we both have other projects. But yeah, India Electric Company has been the biggest part of our musical journey for many years. And yeah, it's a joy to come and play these gigs. It's the one of the wonderful things about touring in the UK is that you end up every couple of years. It's a small network of incredibly enthusiastic venues and artists. And we end up coming back to venues like yourselves and playing shows with and meeting other musicians. That's the wonderful part of it. Christina and Alex, obviously, we know, but I've never met them and never done a gig with them. So it just adds to that wonderful journey of playing music and doing concerts in this country.
Yeah. Well, I think
I think Christina and Alex will have an awful lot in common with you guys because, you know, coming from Norwich, it's the same sort of feeling of quite a small community. But one of the songs that they'll, I hope they sting, there'll be a riot if they don't, is basically about Christina's, as she describes it, slightly feral upbringing, where basically the parents would, on a Friday night, would fill the kitchen full of musical instruments and they'd all be playing and the kids were left to sort of run riot. And it's a great song. And I think it's probably very similar sort of atmosphere in terms of being surrounded by music. And you were either going to love it or hate it, weren't you, really? It was always going to be...
yeah, that's true. Yeah, that sounds very much like my house right now, to be honest. So,
So, Joseph, in terms of Indie Electric Company and other projects, what's kind of keeping you busy at the moment?
I've been playing with Sam Lee, a folkie, who has just done lots of recording for a film and does singing with nightingales, things like that. And then, yeah, I've had quite a quiet summer, actually. It's been quite chilled.
Have you managed to get out and see some gigs while during your quiet summer?
Yes, yeah, I've seen a few, been to Sidmouth Folk Festival quite a lot, which is, you know, great. I think Cole was playing there as part of his solo project, and Sidmouth Fringe Festival. And then, yeah, I've been gigging in the Czech Republic and Germany. So, you know, I've sort of done bits and bobs.
Yeah. I don't mind who goes first on this one, but how would you, for people who haven't seen Indie Electric Company and are thinking about popping down to the Brick Barn on that Saturday, what can they expect from an Indie Electric gig?
Ooh, good question. Very good question. Well,
Cole's haunting vocals for a start.
Yeah, I think we're you know, we've got our roots in traditional folk, I suppose, but we've also got a dalliance with electronic analog synths. We worked with Midjour for about 10 years, and that's had an impact. We both share a love of rhythms cultivated in lands further afield, and our unadulterated love of pop, I suppose. And for this tour, we're lucky to be joined by a wonderful drummer, Russell Field, who we
with
met
whom came... with whom the last time we were at Deepdale Festival, me, him and Jade, my girlfriend, won a dance competition, which was, I can't remember the name of the band on the Saturday night. They were fabulous. I think we won their CD.
Oh, fantastic. Leisure Society?
Oh, it could have been.
Was that with Chris Riddle drawing most beautiful pictures?
Probably. Could have been.
Yeah, that's a possibility, but I can't be certain. I don't remember the dance competition, but congratulations.
Thank you very much.
It's obviously stuck in the memory, which is very good.
there's some, what a thing. So not just multi-instrumentalists, but extraordinary dancers as well. So that's a selling point for this gig, if nothing else.
I have to say, you guys do manage to fill the stage, bearing in mind there's not many of you on the stage. Yeah. You know, we've had some huge bands who, you know, don't really move at all, and then, you know, you guys sort of remind me slightly of when I saw the White Stripes at Glastonbury, and wow, two people managed to fill the pyramid stage in a way that Nelly Furtado, the next act on, and her massive entourage utterly failed to do. So, you know, it's just it's fascinating seeing how that works.
Joe plays so many instruments, so we've got a lot of instruments on board.
We lug too much gear around, that's for sure.
So, what instruments can they expect from you, Joseph?
I'll bring, well, violin, accordion, guitars, a keyboard, some bass pedals, and I think that I'll probably leave it there.
But, okay. And what other things have you got hidden away in your cupboards at home?
Oh well, yeah, a growing collection of modular synths, which definitely shouldn't come out on the road. Sometimes.
You can't see it, but Cole's definitely nodding to that.
Yeah, so many. Joe's very modest, but one of the amazing things that he does is play bass keys with his feet whilst he also plays violin, and watching the reaction of a crowd. We were touring in Europe and watching the front row kind of in disbelief of the mesmerizing sound he was creating whilst with his feet and with a violin at the same time is something pretty special. So
it was either that or the crap socks I was wearing that they were in disbelief of. So,
we'll see. Maybe it was a combination.
Mm.
It's always a talking point, if nothing else, the Sox. So, yeah, and we've got, as I said, we've got Russell Field joining us on percussion and drums. So that that's amazing because it allows us to bring many of these songs from that we're going to play over the last 10 years have been rooted in rhythm. And to be able to have that live and real live drums is... it's a different energy, as you know, as you can imagine, and it's great for us. It means we can give it perhaps more space, and rather than both of us try to compensate playing the rhythm with our instruments as well. So it's always a lot of fun, and him being a drummer, he always well, if nothing else, our bar bill goes up significantly, Jason, on this tour. So it's always wonderful to get out, and we've just finished doing some acoustic shows as well, just the two of us. So it's lovely to be able to offer crowds that slight variation in different songs, in different arrangements, and with the three of us. So we're really looking forward to it.
That's cool. Well, Rachel and David from Moongazer Ale, they enjoyed your gig so much at the Deepdale Festival that they've decided to come and do the bar this time.
Wow.
Normally, they just supply us the beer and we run the bar, but they've decided they wanted the excuse to come and enjoy the evening. So they're coming along, which will be great.
That's fantastic.
It's going to be a fabulous, fabulous evening.
One of the things we're looking forward to, you know, sharing these shows with different musicians, and I can't wait to hear their set as well. And a whole night. It's like a mini festival in one, really. I love that's what you've created and you curate with your shows. It's a pretty special thing. So yeah, we're really, really looking forward to it. And since we last saw you, we've got the new album out, and so we're able to play new songs from that and then go back and revisit our earlier albums. So yeah, can't wait.
What's the new album called?
New album's called Pomegranate.
Pomegranate. It's such a great name. And I love that photo of you two sort of juggling pomegranates on there. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that was Joe's idea. And we took that photo and we went to the local supermarket and bought some dodgy looking pomegranates and threw them. But it's amazing how many people don't spot them in the photograph. So I've had a few people say, why are you just sort of, you got your hands in the air, you look really strange. I'm like, well, if you look closely, you can see a pomegranate.
There is a pomegranate there. They're fairly obvious, I would say. Yeah. But yeah, I suppose if you crop the photo, they might just disappear. Then that just looks like you're sort of doing a Marcel Marceau moment.
Yeah, exactly that.
Well, we're so looking forward to you guys coming to play. Really looking forward to it. And for anybody who hasn't got their tickets or hasn't booked their accommodation, it's Saturday the 27th of September. They will be performing after Christina and Alex. It's going to be a fabulous evening. The Brick Barn just lends itself to your type of music in a fabulous way. Tim is very excited about doing the sound. He seems to make musicians happy. So I'm assuming he has a very, very good idea of what he's doing, and he makes customers happy too. And I will always remember the Chris has these various mates who, school friends who he's kept in touch with for years, and they always come to our festivals and gigs. They were standing up at the front, and every year they're kind of amazed by the range of stuff that Chris gets to perform. At the end of your set, they just went, oh my God, that was incredible. So, and I have a feeling they're coming up for this gig especially.
Oh,
so
that'd be
really
lovely
great
to hear. So. Yeah, it's a credit to Tim on sound, really, to be honest. So yeah.
Well, enjoy the rest of your touring, and we look forward to seeing you on the 27th of September. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you.
See you there. Can't wait. Cheers.
There's more to this than meets the eye. Hard to say if something's missing. The seeds of doubt bedded in. No way to resist it. Long time coming, been a long time coming to you. Always trying to open up all this mind and hoping that. But imagine coming back here. Can't live without it. You can cut right through. You can cut right through it. This is how we started. Pomegranate. Rush it like it lasts forever, but it won't be long till we need enough.
Home on Zoom, sadly not where these two work, which is the very beautiful RSPB Titchwell Marsh Nature Reserve. And I have Lucy Farah, the commercial manager, and Paul Hooper, the retail manager, both of the Titchwell Marsh Nature Reserve. Thank you both for joining me. They're going to tell us a little bit about what RSPB Titchwell Nature Reserve offers and some special events that are coming up. And many of you who listen to this podcast and many of you who stay with us at Deepdale will have been down to the RSPB Reserve because it's a fabulous place to visit, particularly if you have the slightest interest in wildlife or stunning views. It's a great place to go. They are listed on our wildlife guide, our North Norfolk Wildlife Guide, which is on our website. So welcome to Deepdale Podcast. I don't think either of you have been on here before, have you? So this is a first for you.
Yes, you've had Titchwell Marsh on the podcast a few times, though.
I think we've had various people who've been related to Titchwell Marsh. So, we've had Steve on and we've had various other people. So, a real mixture. So there we go. I know that, Lucy, you're not at the reserve at the moment, but, Paul, do you get a fantastic view across the reserve from your office, or are you in the broom cupboard?
Well, I'm in a shop, which is a reasonably sized shop. I do have the great advantage of being able to go onto the reserve every morning before I come into work and have a couple of hours wandering around there. So what a great way to start the day off, eh? And then I come in and do what I need to do in the shop. And then if I want to, I can go back out on the reserve again at the end of the day. So, couldn't want for a better place to work, to be honest with you.
Fantastic. So, Lucy, if you had to sum up what was on offer at RSPB Titchwell Marsh Nature Reserve, what would, what would be your elevator pitch for people who've never been there before?
Oh, my goodness, what a question. If you want to go to, probably one of the most iconic nature reserves in North Norfolk. If you people that go to holiday in Norfolk, Titchwell kind of has it all. And what's really lovely about it is it's all within a really small area as well. So you can pretty much see all of North Norfolk's nature, no matter what time of year it is, within a very short period, so just within a couple of hours. So we have beach there, we have beautiful dunes, we've got saltwater marshes, we've got freshwater marshes, we've got woodland, we've got reed bed. And of course, because we've got all those different habitats, you've got all the different wildlife that visit those habitats as well. So what we try and do there is, we conserve it, we manage it so that we do get this right. This diversity of wildlife. Of course, we're RSPB, we're famous for birds. So if anyone has never seen an avocet before, or a spoonbill, as we know that they've become very popular sight in Norfolk at the moment, bearded tit is a great one that people always want to see. So Titchwell Marsh is just a great place to come drop in if you're new to bird watching, if you're new to nature watching, or if you're a lifelong advocate. It's got that real mix, something for everybody, yeah.
Paul, what's the retail offering? Because you're the retail manager. What's the retail offering of Titchwell?
So we've got a combination of a great optical range of equipment, binoculars and telescope, top-end stuff from Swarovski, Leica, Zeiss, Kauer, as well as our own branded RSPB products. We also offer a range of books, local gift products, lots of Christmas stuff going on the shelves now this time of the year, which you'll be surprised to know people are buying. Another good seller for us is honey, lots of honey. We love people buy lots of honey from us as well, which is excellent.
Produced from bees on the reserve?
Local, yeah, no, they're produced by a guy down not far from the reserve. But yeah, so it's a very popular seller in our shop.
So you've got various events happening all the way through the year. What's coming up? What's in the pipeline at the moment?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, Titchwell's great because you can go there any time of year and you'll see something. We're just coming out of summer, so back to September. So our family activities, pond dipping has been very popular for families. I remember that as a kid, really got me into nature, sticking a net into the pond and having a look and see what creatures you've got. And we've also got adventure backpacks for the kids as well. As we're going into real kind of really nice bird watching, nature watching season. So we've got the autumn migration. So we've got all the birds coming in to spend the winter or to stop off before they head even further south. What we're doing at the moment, we've got some safaris going on, so you can go to both of our reserves, Snesham and Titchwell. And so very, very busy month for us in September, and it all culminates at the end at a well, what we're going to call the big weekend at Titchwell. It's on the 11th and the 12th of October. We've got it's a weekend of high tides, peak migration. And so we're going to do a little 2-day event, little packed with people coming to talk. We've got walks. We're going to have some of the optic specialists, so people like Swarovski, Viking, Leica and Kao are coming, a real packed program. So if you're new to bird watching, if you want to know a little bit more about it, if it's a hobby that you've always wanted to get into, what better thing way to start it by coming down and meeting some like-minded folks?
And do people need to book ahead for events like the Titchwell Marshes Big Weekend? Do they need to book tickets in advance or do they just come along?
So there's more information if you kind of Google Titchwell Marsh events, or if you have a look on our events page. There's more information. Just turn up on the day. There's nothing you don't need to book to come in. There are a few events that will be bookable. So we're going to do one of our most famous walks is the Autumn Trail. We've got two actually, the Autumn Trail Revealed. This is a walk around a secret part of the reserve that's only open for a couple of months of the year. So we keep it really, really away from the public viewing for, well, the breeding season and the winter roosts as well. And then for 2 months, the warden kind of allows us to go in there and have a look. And of course, because it's been undisturbed for the whole year, you get really lovely views of bearded tit from the other side of the marshes as well. So it's a really nice walk that we're running a special edition of over the big weekend. Another one that's become really popular is what's that way, do we call it? So waders, wading birds, a lot of people refer to them as little brown jobbies or little brown birds or grey birds that hang around in the water. Really, really difficult to identify in summertime, let alone when they're just wearing their boring drab winter clothes. So we've got a load of experts, as you'd expect with the RSPB. You come in, they'll sit you down and go through some of the key features of those birds, and then we go out onto the marsh, and we point them out so you can see them in the flesh or feathers, as it were.
In terms of other events you're running through the year, because you've got all sorts of stuff happening like Snettisham and Titchwell Marsh birding safari and Friday foray and things like that. Are those things again that you can just turn up for, or are they better to book ahead?
So that we run a suite of daily walks at Titchwell. You can turn up for those ones. That's not a problem. We just make sure there's something available, that if people drop in, which they do, there's something for them to jump onto, and they do a little mix of a tour of the reserve with a little bit of basic bird ID. Yeah, some of the more exclusive ones, the safari, and we've also got breakfast walks with waders as well. Those ones are bookable. They involve a bit more coordination because we've got to get you around Norfolk and feed you as well. So have a check online and you can book those online. But the daily ones you can drop in with.
And in terms of other facilities on the site, so how does it work? If you were coming to visit, you're not a member of the RSPB. I've no doubt there'll be people to talk to get membership if you once you visit. But if you're coming along, how does it work? Do you pay for car parking? Is it free entry if you turn up by bus? What's the situation?
So RSPB members are free. Access to any of the reserves are free if you're an RSPB member. Non-members we're always welcome, always welcome. There is a charge for non-members. It's £7 per adult, and that gives you access to the reserve, access to all of our facilities. And then we do concessions for children, for carers and the like. We have free entry because we really want to encourage, I want to say youth, but it makes me feel sound really old, but we want to encourage people around 16 to 24. So free entry for that group. We've really seen an uptake in that age group coming, which is brilliant because we've got future wardens there, we've got future conservationists, future David Attenborough's in that group. So yes, completely. And it's a really nice accessible site as well. We have access. It's a nice place for to come if you're not a birder. Happy to if you just want to enjoy the nature, if you just want to be in the peace and serenity of the woodland and the reed bed, fine. But you can hop onto a walk or speak to one of our many volunteers there at any one time if you need help with identifying a bird or anything. So there's always a massive team of people there, all in blue shirts, there to help give advice and help anyone through the hobby that is bird watching.
And Paul, on top of the kind of the shop that's there, have you got a cafe, toilets, car parking, all of that sort of thing?
Yeah, so all those facilities are covered. We've got a great cafe, there's a toilet block, and there's plenty of car parking space for people to use as well. So access and to the reserve isn't a problem. And once you're on the reserve, like Lucy's already said, there's plenty of facilities and there's plenty of people around that'll help you do what it is that you need to do.
Yeah.
Just ask.
That's brilliant. What are we likely to see in the next few weeks? Is there anything spectacular
Oh,
happening?
bird-wise,
Yes.
there's lots.
go
To
on,
be
Paul.
honest with you, Jason, there's lots. So we're now starting to pick up the like Lucy was saying, the autumn migration start to kick in. By the time we get into October, that'll be in full swing. We'll start getting, so all the summer migrants will have been disappearing. So your swallows, your swifts, your house martins and terns will have gone. And we're now getting like the winter birds that will come over here. The most iconic being the pink-footed geese, which is always a huge draw, especially for Norfolk in terms of the numbers that come through. And there'll be things like more ducks on their pigeons, widgeons, pintails. You'll have lots of birds out on the seas, more gannets, razorbills, guillemots. So it's really the shift away a lot from the reed bed, moves out to the actual freshwater marsh and then out to the sea and places like that, because obviously birds are passing through and migrating off out to their winter habitats where they go. So yeah, a great time of the year to be coming to somewhere like Titchwell.
And do you get things like murmurations and stuff happening at this time of year, or is that?
Not so much here. We have had them in the past, and the thing with starling murmurations, they're always a bit difficult to predict where they're going to be. So I mean, we've had them at King's Lynn. We have had good numbers at Titchwell some years. And we've had last year, I think there's a really excellent murmuration just south of Holt. So it really is a case of engaging with the local experts and understanding where those are taking place. And when we find out, then obviously we can update our visitors accordingly.
I always remember walking down a Brangster beach and disturbing what I realized were thousands and thousands of starlings in sort of sitting on the reeds, and they just suddenly went up, and it was just absolutely incredible.
I think the a good sort of like something which else is really good to see, which will be down at Snettisham, because the knot numbers will be going up as well there. So 100,000 plus knots, not unheard of at Snettisham for the winter
Wow.
on the wash there. And again, some of the you get the tides right and you pick the right time to go down there, they can actually just blow you away in terms of the activity down there. And for what it's worth, YouTube's a really, really great place to go to watch some of the videos that people put out, the actual knot murmurations at Snettisham. Really something. And that, I think, along with David Attenborough, has really helped in terms of promoting that experience, because the amount of people that come into the shop and talk about, I want to go and see the Knot Murmurations, or I want to go and see the Starlings. So they're only that's been driven by a lot of the activity by the social media and people broadcasting and showing what actually happens on those spectacles. They're well worth a trip just to experience it if you've never done it before.
And if you guys had to pick your favorite time of the year on the North Norfolk coast, because it's always changing, would you have a preference? What would be your pick?
I think for me, this is going to sound really selfish, but at Titchwell, any time of the year is good here because we're such a fortunate reserve in terms of the birds and the species and the mammals and that. And the habitat we've got is just so unique in terms of what we can offer people. But I think for me, spring migration and autumn migration definitely the two best times of the years because you've got that unique situation where you've got summer birds either coming in or going, and the winter birds either going or coming in. So you can get some really great crossovers in terms of the species. So you can have swallows and pink-footed geese, and you know what I mean? So because it's just a great, those times of the year, just great times of the year for seeing some really great birds out there.
Yeah. And how about you, Lucy? What's your
I was going
favourite?
to say, yeah, that was such a textbook answer, Paul, as in any
Well,
time of
thank
year is my
you.
favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to go straight for it. May, my favorite month of the year, definitely. The incoming, the feeling of that change, that's really when summer begins for me. So yeah, when I get the first swifts and swallows in, that really is the sound of a spring and summer. And like a lot of people, I love the longer days. I love that feeling that it's coming, and it's nature. It's the things. It's the incoming of the insects and the bird song. For me, that really defines that. Definitely.
Fantastic.
What about you, Jason?
You see, I quite like June and I quite like
Yeah.
September because they're kind of when we tend to get really lovely weather, but without the crowds. And so I think, but there is something incredibly special about walking across the beach or the marshes in the winter. When you're all wrapped up, it's going to be probably grim. And actually, it's just so exhilarating, and it's a damn good reason to go to the pub and sit by a roaring fire. So, for
Oh,
me,
delicious.
that's yeah, an ulterior motive maybe, but it's still
Yeah.
something very special about having that fresh air rammed down your throat.
Yes. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's good. Well, really, really lovely to speak to you both. Thank you so much, and we really look forward to the Titchwell Marshes big weekend. I hope it's a fabulous event. For anybody who is looking for events, as these guys said, you can head to rspb.org.uk or have a look on our website. Lots of the events are listed on there as well on deepdalecamping.co.uk/wildlife. It's definitely a place to visit. From Deepdale, it's very easy. You can catch the Coastliner bus straight from outside Deepdale along the coast and stops pretty much right outside the reserve. And it's a little walk down to there and then a beautiful walk onto the reserve itself. But really, really worth visiting. But yeah, thank you so much. Have a
Oh, thanks,
fantastic
Jason.
autumn in whatever way that ends up. And we will talk to you soon.
Remember to say
Thank
hi when
you.
you come in. All the best.
Thanks again for listening to the Deepdale podcast. Really lovely to have your listening ears. If you did enjoy what you listened to, then please do leave a review on your favorite podcast app or directory. It really helps other people find us. And please do tell your family and friends about us. This will be the last podcast for the next couple of months. I will be back with Chris chatting about our 12 albums for Christmas, as we normally do in the December issue. We so enjoy putting together this magazine program about the beautiful North Norfolk coast, and I'm glad that you're listening to it. We will see you again in December. In the meantime, if you need to fill your listening ears with more of the beautiful North Norfolk coast, then do listen back to the back catalogue that we have, talking to huge range of really interesting people who know this beautiful part of the world so well. Thanks again for listening. See you in December. Thank you.
skies all open wide, geese go high and over. Oh, now you're a beachcomber, fistful of sandfire, sea lavender, sea.